All God's people said, I have to shake the tingly feelings from my body, singing all the great songs of our country and attributing, giving recognition to our veterans today. It just, I never get tired of hearing the Star Spangled Banner. I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful thing. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Mrs. Janke told me to make sure to announce that Christmas dinner. And so even though Derek did it, I'm going to do it again. You say, why? Because I don't want to be in the doghouse. It's no fun out there. You can praise God in the doghouse, though. You can praise God anywhere. Did you know that? Amen. Peter was given a charge by the Lord Jesus Christ before the Lord ascended into heaven. That charge was to feed the flock of God that the Lord purchased with his blood. Peter is toward the end of his ministry, he's towards the end of his life. And he has fulfilled that charge by Christ. And he mentions his departure in these verses. He mentions that he leaves two inspired epistles to keep them in remembrance. And I'd like you to look at those verses, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 12 through 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. You can tell he's a preacher. I'm going to talk to you about this all the time. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. There he goes, twice he's saying, I'm going to remember some things. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. What he's telling the church is that these letters, these two epistles, are going to continue to admonish you. Amen. I like that. He's not going to preach to you even after I'm dead. The Word of God's going to be there to admonish you, and it is preserved, and I'm just going to keep preaching to you after I'm departed. These letters are going to be in the church even after I'm gone. Amen. I hope my sermons preach to you after I'm gone. I think the internet's here to stay. Amen? We got sermons on the internet, so if I get called home to be with the Lord, I can still preach to you. Amen? All you got to do is dial up. See. Yes. Thank you, Joe. The church website. But, you know, a good memory is a great blessing from the Lord in life, to have a good memory. And yet, someone said, in God's kingdom, this mental ability is often improperly exercised. And so proper attention is the greatest aid to having a good memory. One preacher said, some things today are worth remembering. And that, you know, as we remember today, a day of remembrance, for those that served our country, I'd like us also to remember some things that are worth remembering in the Word of God. And of course, our text is 2 Peter 1:15. Peter said, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Some things we must remember this morning I think are important. I think we should remember some things about life itself, that God is the creator of our lives. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul and the body were made distinctly by God. Science has proved that the substance of flesh and bone and sinews consist of the very same elements as the soil, which form the crust of the earth. Psalm 139 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, we're living in a day where children are taught that creation came from a big explosion in the sky, a big bang. Oh, young people, when you hear somebody telling you that God did not make this world, you're listening to a lie. It's being repeated so much that people believe it, but never forget that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, the spoken word. God has chosen three ways to reveal himself to man. The spoken word, that's creation, speaking everything into existence. I'll tell you, that is some kind of power, isn't it? And then, of course, we have the written word, where God has given us the inspired word of God. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the living word. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, may we never forget that God is the creator of our lives. Also, I'd like you to look at Revelation chapter 4 as we're remembering today. I'd like us to remember that we were created for the glory of God. This morning, you and I have been created for one reason, and one reason only. We were created to bring glory to God. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I this morning have been created to bring glory to the Lord. Are we bringing glory to the Lord? Are you bringing glory to the Lord this morning? Do you know if you receive God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first step in bringing glory to the Lord. To accept the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, that's the very first step in bringing glory to the Lord. And then there's the step of living for the Lord, living your life for the Lord and serving Him. We were created for His glory. All things are permitted to exist by His sovereign will, and therefore all things should praise Him. Amen. We should praise Him more. The only reason the world exists is because God said four words, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. The world is sustained by God alone. He needs no help from man to sustain His universe. Did you know that? I know they're talking about the green thing. If you really want to know what I think about the green thing, I think it's the biggest scam that's ever come across in politics. God needs no help in sustaining His universe. All things are held together by the word of His mouth. Amen. That's pretty arrogant for man to think that he can keep this world going by an act of His will. We owe our existence to His will. And our life should be bringing glory to Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. What that scripture says is that every one of us are going to stand before the Lord and give an account of our life. That's a sobering thought, is it not? And there's also that admonition that we shouldn't judge each other. because we're going to be judged. I shouldn't judge you, you shouldn't judge me, but we should realize that God's going to judge us individually. And that we should not put a stumbling block in front of our brothers so that they would fall. Amen. You know, that would rule out about 99% of all gossiping amongst Christians. You know, when you gossip as a Christian, you're putting a stumbling block in front of someone who's weaker. If you're going to complain about something, complain to God, because He's the one that can fix it. Amen? You got problems at home? Complain to the Lord. He can fix it. Yes, He can. I was talking to someone recently, and they were not getting along with their wife, and I said, be careful what you say about God's daughter. And that puts a whole new perspective on things, doesn't it? That is God's daughter. Be careful what you say about her and to her, and how you treat her, because your Heavenly Father is very cautious and protective over His daughter. You know, I was protective over my daughter. I didn't really mean to be as combative. The boys were actually afraid to call the house, I found out later. I mean, good guys. I mean, really good guys were afraid to call the house. Maybe it's because I just looked mean. Maybe they saw war paint on my face or something. I don't know. But I took my responsibility seriously as the protectorate of my daughter, that's for sure. But yes, there's some things we need to remember about our Father and creation. There's some things I'd like us to remember about God's Word this morning. God is perfect, and everything He does is perfect. And He gave us a perfect book. In other words, He gave us a Bible with no errors in it. It is inspired. It is the inerrant Word of God. It is the one to be saved by, it's the one to live by, and it's the one to die by. Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they wrote, they dictated the Scriptures by the Spirit of God, taking their hand and writing. And they knew that they were inspired when they were writing. And then God promised to preserve His Word. And He has preserved His Word. This morning, you hold in your hands the inspired Word of God that is indestructible. It's never going to go away. Thank God for the Bible. Where would we be without it? Thank God for those that gave it to us. Yes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Bible says that we're supposed to study this book as Christians. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worksman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, we're to study this book. We're to read it. We're to study it. We're to memorize it. I was so blessed this morning. We're driving the church bus to church, and our bus workers were in the back teaching the children the Bible. Getting them to memorize the Bible, reciting the Bible, verses over and over and over again. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be studying the Word of God. Yes, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. What that means is when people are interested in disputing God's Word, they're not the folks you find in prayer or helping someone to bring someone to the Lord. They're just interested in disputing. Creation is the spoken word. The Bible is the written word. And Jesus is the living word. Thank God for an infallible book. You know, if you get away from the infallibility of the Bible, there's nothing really to hold on to. Yes, it is infallible. The mistakes lie with us, not with this book. It can be trusted over and over again. There's no substitute for the Bible. Galatians chapter 1 says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. No matter how talented the speaker may be, no matter how eloquent or popular they may be, No matter how sincere they are or apparently how successful they are in terms of their following or wealth, if they preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. You say, that's pretty narrow. It's a narrow way, isn't it? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, God's way is a narrow way. It is a holy way. And Jesus, God's Son, is the only way. Thank God for the Word of God. I tell you, the older I get, the more important it is to me. The longer I live, the more this book appeals to me. The more time I want to spend with it. I hope it's that way with you. I guess it's because I need it more than I used to. As you get older, you can't do everything you'd like to do. You're more dependent on the Lord. Amen? Our seniors know that. They know the truth of that. And they have wonderful answers to prayer every week, I'm sure. There are some things also, I think, the Lord wants us to remember about worship. The Bible says that we are commanded to worship. Matthew, I'd like you to look at Matthew chapter 4, please. And this, of course, is the time of the temptation when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil. And the devil tried to get Jesus to worship him. And in verse number 10, the Bible says, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him also only thou shalt worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's a command, isn't it? We are commanded to worship the Lord our God. You know, we should worship every day. There should be a time we get alone with God, and then we talk to him, and we praise him, and we worship him. Anywhere, because God is everywhere. You can worship him in the living room. You can worship him in the kitchen. You can take your shoes off and worship him in the bedroom. You can worship him in the hallway. You can praise God in the basement. You could shout in the attic. Amen. Well, there may be some folks in the family who think you're crazy. Put you in the doghouse, but you can praise God in the doghouse. You can praise God everywhere. But you know, Sunday is special. And worship on Sunday is very special. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday. There's something special about Sunday. You know, even in the Old Testament, when God's people worshiped, it was special. I mean, they washed their clothes, they washed their face, they went to worship. They made sure that they were drawing near to the Lord. They did not draw to the Lord casually, folks. Worship was something special. You know, today, the average Christian goes to church like he's going to the lake fishing. Amen. Well, a well-known pastor out west was famous for his large crowds and his casual dress. He wore jeans in the pulpit, and he looked like he was going fishing. He had his sneakers on, and he had great crowds, and he was well-known. He went to Washington, D.C., met the President of the United States, had an appointment to meet him, and they took a picture. Don't you know he wore a three-piece suit into the White House and got his picture taken with the President of the United States? He showed more respect for the President and the White House than Jesus and God's house. Amen. I'm a little jealous that he met the President, though, I got to tell you. You know, when I was a boy, even as an Episcopalian, we got dressed up for church. We lined up all the shoes in the kitchen. And the brothers took turns every week polishing them. We had this all black polish, probably still for sale in places. And every Saturday night, it was one of the boys' turns to polish all the shoes. And it went right down the line. Dad's shoes, Steve's shoes, Wes's shoes, Chris's shoes. All of them. And I knew when it was my turn because I never did a good job. I got it all over my hands. And it's hard to get out. Even on Sunday, I had black on my hands. But we got dressed up. And every week was special. Yes, there are reasons, I think, why revival tarries. I think one reason may be the casual attitude of many Christians towards worship. God deserves our best. He deserves our very best. Satan wanted Jesus to worship him, and he was declined. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we should be loyal to him. We should be loyal to our church as well, where God has placed us. We should not forsake that assembly. Many say, Pastor, I can go to church when I want, if I want, and where I want. I'm under grace. There's a word for that in the Greek and the Hebrew for that philosophy and belief. It's called backsliding. Be careful. It starts out innocently. It ends up lethal. No one who is there planned to be there. Oh, the first Sunday is a good excuse. Second Sunday finds another. Before you know it, you formed a habit and a pattern. And if you're not careful, Satan has blinded your mind again. Sunday is a special day. My relatives used to call me on Sunday to drop over. They stopped calling because they know where I am. And there's always an open invitation for them. Amen? But we should remember some things about worship. It is important. Also about prayer. Jesus was fervent in prayer, that's for sure. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. After he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And he was there alone. Our Lord found great enjoyment after the crowds were gone and being alone with God the Father in a place where he could call out to him and not be heard. You know, if Jesus needed times to be alone, how much more do we need a quiet time with our Heavenly Father? Amen. Yes, prayer is important. I've mentioned this in recent weeks that we are not a New Testament Bible-believing church unless we are a praying church. Because we cannot separate the two in the book of Acts. They were definitely a praying church. Yes, it's a narrow road that produces character. Prayer helps us to avoid temptation. Our church leaders need prayer. I'd like you to look at 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, please. And verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians. Bless you. I do want you to be blessed, John. John sent me an instant email last night. He's trying out his new webcam. So I plugged in mine, and we just stared at each other for a few minutes. It was fun. Finally, brethren, pray for us, Paul said, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. He asked for prayer. He asks his church members for prayer. I hope the church leaders are on your daily prayer list, moms and dads. When you pray and have your quiet time and ask God to bless your family, I hope you say, and God bless Pastor Janky. He sure needs it. And bless our Sunday school teachers. And bless our bus workers and our deacons and our trustees and all those that are serving the Lord in our church. Bless our church, Lord. Paul asked for prayer. The church only advances by prayer. And then there's something to remember about serving the Lord. The Bible says we cannot serve two masters. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, a servant only should have one boss. You can't work for two people. It brings divided loyalties. In other words, make up your mind who you're going to serve. Amen? We should serve the Lord. One interferes with the other. One has to be surrendered. I think it's It's important to remember that the world and God never do get along. They never be on the same page. Yes, it's important to remember that about our service for the Lord. And lastly, it's important to remember a few things about giving to the Lord. I mentioned earlier that God deserves our very best. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I just want to read a couple verses to you before we're dismissed. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Giving ourselves to the Lord is really where it starts. If God has our heart and we give our life to the Lord, everything else falls into place. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They consecrated themselves and all that they had unto the Lord. And of course, giving shouldn't be a matter of prayer. We know that some people followed the Lord because of the loaves and the fishes. That was certainly the wrong motive. And they thought the Lord was going to be the next ruler in Israel and put everybody on a pretty good deal. But you know, giving has a lot to do with enjoying the blessings of God and to learn that God wants to bless us. The Bible says we're to give cheerfully when we do give, according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, we serve a generous, a giving, and a great God. Isn't that right? Amen? Isn't he good? And if we're his children, we're supposed to be like him. Amen? Sometimes you can always tell whose son or daughter someone belongs to, right? They look like them, they act like them. We should look like the Lord in these ways. Oh, it's a great day today for our country, and I thank God for our veterans. Let us also put in remembrance the things that were mentioned this morning. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful today for our freedom. Lord, we thank you for the freedom over sin because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you, Lord, you shed your blood that we might have victory over death and that we might have the hope of eternal life. Lord, I pray this morning if there'd be anyone in our midst that has never had their heart touched by the Lord, that never received Christ as their Savior, never had a personal encounter with you, we pray this morning that they would open their heart to the Lord as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. Just want to ask you a question this morning before we dismiss. Do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? I'm not asking you, are you a church member? I'm not asking you, are you a Baptist or a Catholic? I'm asking you, has there ever been a time when you asked Jesus, you saw your need of a Savior, you realized you were lost and you're headed down that broad road that leads to destruction and hell, and you cried out to the Lord for mercy and said, Lord, save me, be my Savior. I wonder if there'd be anyone this morning say, Pastor, I've never done that, but this morning I want to be remembered in prayer. I'd like Jesus to come into my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would be anyone this morning say, Pastor, pray for me. That's my desire. That's my prayer this morning. I lift my hand for prayer. Anyone like that? Could I see your hand? Anyone at all? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Father, you see the hands. And I pray that you would work in their heart this morning in a very special way. And then, Lord, I pray for your people that the words spoken from your word today would resonate deep into all of our hearts. So, Father, if you've spoken to some of your people today in a special way, I pray that they would resolve to yield to you because that's where joy comes from. May your will be done in this invitation of yours, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's